Praise God. Hallelujah. What else are you going to do on a Wednesday night than be at church? What the world has to offer is snow. I'm with Pastor Michael. I like the sun. But you can't put a price on this. You can't put a price on this. And it's such an honor to be here. Such an honor to be here. That first song is, I'm free. What other country are you free to do this? Do you realize what you have? It's so good. God's good. You know, Sunday school was amazing. With Pastor Brad, got some finance things straight. You know, the next 3 months, we need to get it straight. We got to get stuff in order. How's God going to promote us if we got stuff out of order? Anybody ever try to put money in a soda machine that said out of order? The only thing it caused was frustration. Because there was something in that vending machine that was not working right. So all the time and effort that you were putting in there, just because it was out of order, you wasn't going to get what you were supposed to get. So with Pastor Brad, we're getting stuff in order. We're preparing. Getting that ground tilled up because it's going to produce a harvest. Reverend Tony, you know, righteousness. Righteousness. Do you understand you're right with God? It's nothing you did, it's all what he did. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get into the word. Can we bring up John 3:16, please? I'm sure no one ever heard of this verse. But it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice, is a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his Son. Now there's an importance on that because of who gave it and what the gift did. So there's an importance on it. You don't have to turn there. Let's bring up John 7:38. Again, it says, he that believes on me, this is Jesus, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Go to the next verse. But this he spake he of the Spirit, which they believed on him, should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I brought up this verse because I wanted to show that the Holy Ghost also was given. And the Holy Ghost is important because who gave it and what what it was supposed to do. You know, power. You know, they told the disciples in the other room, do not leave. Because there's power coming that you are going to need to get this job done. Well, that hasn't changed. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, I encourage you. Because we need to get this job done. And it's easier to get things done when there's power. Has anybody tried to use an electric tool without it being either on or plugged in? It doesn't work. I mean, now you might be able to swing it around and get a little bit done, but you're not going to be proficient with it. Man, speaking in tongues gets you proficient of what you're supposed to do. But I brought up these two verses. One, Jesus was a gift from God. Number two, the Holy Ghost was a gift from God. And this brings me into my message. You know, and remember, it's because who gave the gift and the importance of it. Right. Tonight's message, I'm going to talk about the gift of the pastor. Amen. And we have to realize who was it given from and what's the importance of it. Amen. You know, we put a high standard on Jesus because who gave it? Right. You know, but how can we diminish the office or the gift of the pastor, but it's still given by Jesus? You know, familiarity or, he's just a man. Okay, that's fine that he's a man. I love my pastors, Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie, but I love the gift and the office in them way much more. That's right. Because I need that. Yes. I need that. You know, okay, they're fine, normal, you know what I mean? But I need that gift and office that Jesus put in them, supernaturally put in them. You know, let's bring up Ephesians 4:11. And you can go ahead and turn there. Praise God. But we have to recognize pastors, both pastors, Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie, Pastor Brad, they're gifts.
Yes. Amen.
They're gifts. They're not just people. They're a gift from God to you.
Yes.
You know, it might sound like, oh, I'm all about the person. No, that's not my heart. I'm all about the gift.
Yes.
Because without that gift, I would not be where I'm at.
Right.
You know, because they're the ones that directed me to the Holy Ghost. They're the ones that directed me to Jesus.
Right.
Without that, where would I be? You know, I'll tell you where I end up. Be broke. Disgusted,
oh, yeah.
Up in a corner,
oh, yeah.
You know, divorced, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the people that you go around driving and say, man, they really need help. That's where I would have been.
Sure.
That was my highest and best that I had to look forward to.
Sure.
I was a wanderer, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to stay place. I wasn't stable,
sure.
You know. And anything that I thought that was going to help me just kept on adding destruction.
Yes.
You know, the drugs, the alcohol, the womanizing. That all leads to destruction.
Right.
The Bible says whatever seems good to men ends in death.
Yes.
You know? I mean, where would we be without a pastor? Someone who, and that even goes for them. Where would they be without a pastor? You know? Where would they be without a pastor? But Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. We'll go down to verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's go back up to verse 11. You know, Jesus walked in all five folds of the ministry. So when he gives a gift, he's given part of himself. It says he gave all authority to the church. Well, where's the church at right now? You know, so when he gives us a pastor, you know, if someone gave you something to value to you, what are you going to do to it? Are you just going to put it in the back of a closet? Let it collect dust? Are you going to just, like, handle it, you know, throw it around as a football? You're going to use it as a doorstop? No, because there's no honor and respect for that.
Right.
You know, something that you hold value to, you put in the middle of your fireplace.
Yeah.
And, you make sure that thing's dusted with a white glove because there's an honor and value to it.
That's right.
You know, you don't let people just handle it any way that you want.
Right.
You know, you have kids, you know, I have kids, and they run around something of value. Whoa, hold up, I don't want you to break that.
Right.
You know, how much more should we be with our pastors?
Right.
You know, pastor talks about, you know, if they don't have anything to do with his pastor, we're done.
Right. Yeah.
Same thing here. Right. Why? Because I honor and I respect
yes.
that office.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
They're family.
Oh, yeah.
You know, would you talk about your spouse like that? Would you talk about your kids like that? You know, how would you react if someone came and said your kids are garbage?
Come on.
You know, hey, they're fighting words. We'll bring out the gloves. You know, I'm a firm believer, hit them first, then repent. You know? I'm still working it out, but you know. You know, there's something that bubbles up inside of me when I hear someone talk bad about my pastors.
Yeah, sure.
You know, there's not, you know, the thoughts are not even, hey, let's go outside. It's like, man, I'm just going to lay you out right here.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
That's that righteous anger.
Sure.
Am I in the wrong? Probably, but don't talk about my pastor.
Right.
You know, hey, still striving,
yeah.
You know. There's a work to be done in me. I'm getting there. But where I'm at right now, it angers me.
Yes.
You don't talk about family.
That's right.
You don't talk about family.
That's right.
You don't talk bad about your parents.
Right.
And there's our spiritual moms and dad.
Right. Yeah.
And let me put it this way, only if you made that,
right.
that choice. Because
sure.
There's so many people looking to pull on the gift of the pastor and there's no honor to go along with it. You know, how are you talking about them behind closed doors? You know, but then when you need to pull in the gift of the pastor, well, how do you look at them? You know, doesn't the Bible say whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet reward? Well, it goes on and talks about a righteous man also. You know, so if you're not even receiving them as a righteous man, come on. And then when you need something from them, you know, Pastor Tim talks about investing. You know, you invest, you put money in the bank. Well, when you need a withdrawal, there's a withdrawal there because you put something in it. But if you ain't putting nothing in the honor, the respect, helping out with your pastor, and you go to make the withdrawal, man, you just bounced a check. You know, oh, how come this isn't working? Well, what did you invest? How much prayer did you put in for him? Not saying that it's based on works, but you know, how about money? Don't you invest in, you know, we all have hobbies, right? We invest our money in it. Why? Because it's something that we enjoy. Now, if, you know, Pastor Brad, he talks about hunting, you know, he invests in bows and arrows and all that. You know, well, when he's able to use that equipment because he invested into it. So it's able to produce the result that he wanted. You know, well, if we're not investing, how is it going to produce the thought or the result that we want? It's not, you know, and then we're going to be mad at God because we still got our Pampers on. Like, God, where were you at? He's like, well, why ain't you honoring the gift that I gave in front of you? Your answer is Wednesday. Your answer is Sunday. You know, them times that you're out there looking at your watch because pastor went too long, or them times that you get lost in la-la land catching flies, you know, or you're pulling away from the service. You know what you're doing? You're causing somebody else not to get their help. You know what I mean? When you start disengaging, it's just not affecting you. Now you're making it hard for pastor to preach. You know, he's up here talking, he's doing what he can, but you know what? I see that person sleeping, looking at the watch and all that. It might not affect them, but you know what? You're taken out of the service. And not only are you affecting you, you're affecting someone else getting their help. You know, you're becoming a short in the wire. You know, I used to, you know, fix vacuum cleaners and all that. And if you wrap the wires from the wrong way, what it does is it causes the cord to get twisted. And over time, with that constant twist, it starts getting snags and starts not having a good connection. There starts becoming hiccups. Well, you know, you ever have a piece of equipment when you plug in, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It depends which way you wiggle the wire. I have a drill like that. I gotta like kind of get sideways to get the wires connected. You know, but that's how it is. It's a short. It's a short, you know. We're not constantly plugging in. There's a broken connection somewhere. And maybe sometimes we get it right. The connection's connected, so it works. But what happens when the connection's not right? You know, why are we looking for other people to blame? Man up. Take your own responsibility.
Amen. That's right.
You know, we all have a part to play.
Yes, we do.
Let's go down to verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's your job. That's your job. Could you imagine pastor going around doing everything and then trying to come up here and preach?
Come on.
You know, he would probably fall asleep up here.
Yeah.
Because he's wore out.
Right.
You know, that's why he raises us up. You know, it's our job to do what we think his job is.
Come on.
It's our job.
Right.
You know, how many times are we like, oh, pastor, take care of it.
Come on.
What's wrong with you? You know? Why can't you do that? You know, go walk around church with a piece of paper laying on the floor. Oh, pastor, get that. It's all right.
Come on.
What, your knees don't work?
Yeah, right.
You know, you hit. You want to straighten, you walk around like a robot. Pick it up.
Right.
You know, this is a church. You know,
yeah.
We're a church body. Together,
yeah.
We're the body of Christ. You know, it takes my whole body, all my body parts, to get me to move.
Right.
You know, my finger don't decide to take a day off.
No.
My ankle decides not to take a day off.
Right.
Why? I need my whole body
right.
to get this job done.
Yes.
We need the whole body.
Yes.
to get this job done.
Amen.
Especially because, look, this church is getting promoted.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you realize that. I'll just let you in a little secret. We're going places.
Yes.
As a church. Our pastor is going places.
Yes.
You know, we have a responsibility because when one person gets promoted, the whole body gets promoted.
Amen.
You know, so it's time for all of us to step it up.
Amen.
All of us.
Right.
There's no spot. You know, there's no part of the body that's too small.
Right.
You know, I mean, even little cells, you know, they still have an important part in the body.
Right.
You know, you might not even be seen, but it's still important. You know, and if you're looking to be seen, you got the wrong motive. You know, if you got the if you're only doing something so someone else can see you, there's your reward. You got the wrong motive. How's that going to promote you? Oh yeah, this person can do stuff when somebody's looking, but you catch them when nobody's around, nothing gets done. That's a heart issue. That's a heart issue. You know, I mean, and you see people, you know, they want to be the first in charge because they're seen. But then when nobody's around, they're the first one gone. They're hiding, you know. Oh, we got something come up. What come up? Oh, you know, I just got to go. Sounds like an excuse to me. Excuses are excuses.
Right.
You know, they ain't helping nobody. It didn't edify me. It didn't build up no faith. The only thing is that made extra work for the body.
Right.
You know, Pastor Brett says all the time, many hands make for light work or fast work, you know. And if them hands keep on disappearing because no one's around to keep in charge, why do you think that the same 20% of people does 100% of the job? They already proved themselves. Everybody else just like, oh, they take care of it. They take care of it. Come on, man. Everybody's job is to step up right now.
Yes.
We have a work
yes.
to do. You know, every general has an army. We talked about this a little bit. Every general has an army. You know, Pastor Tim is the vocal point of this church. He's the head of this household.
Right.
But it takes that army to get stuff done.
Yes.
You know? Pastor says, hey, we need this done. Yes, sir. Let's go do this. You know, we need to get this done. Yes, sir. Hey, pastor needs to go to California and help out in the world school. Well, guess what? That's an opportunity for all of us to step it up even more. Because if he's here or he's not here, there's still work to be done. We're all still underneath his vision. And our goal is to be an extension of our pastor. You know, let's hook up to that vision. Let's get this done. Let's get it done. You know, let's turn over to Jeremiah 3:15. God's good. God's so good. You know, there's a work to be done. This isn't a time to stop. You know, I mean, if you think you're coming up to a brick wall, you know, sometimes people have a tendency to kind of slow up. You know, hey, we're going because this is going to hurt. You know what we need to do? We need to step on the gas and bust through that wall. We don't need it. We don't need to stop. We don't need to slow down. There's going to be things in the way. Welcome to life. There's always something in the way. But our job is to move at a faster pace. And let's bust through some of this stuff. We got the dynamite power inside of us. Do you realize that? Do you realize the greater ones inside of you? It's not even you that's doing it. You know? Let's get this work done. Jeremiah 3:15, and it says, I will give you pastors according to my heart. Again, this is the Lord. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Well, what's your pastor feeding you? This is the food that you get week in and week out. Knowledge and understanding.
Yeah.
You know, are you going through something? Yeah. Well, pastor just gave you knowledge and understanding all that. Or at least he guided you and directed you to where you know where it's at. You know, how many times have you been sitting in service and Pastor Tim, Pastor Kay, Pastor Brad says something, you're like, oh, that's my answer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
That's knowledge and understanding. That's for you. Now do your part.
Amen. That's right.
God's getting it to the messengers. The messengers are, let's put it this way. You know, you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? He blessed the food. He gave it to the ministers. The ministers gave it to the people, the company. It was an order. Well, God did his part. The ministers did their part. It would have been the people in the company's fault if they didn't choose to eat. You know, they were hungry. The Lord provided a way. He gave it to his messengers to get the food over to the 5,000. Right. It would have been the 5,000's fault if they didn't eat.
Right.
I mean, they were hand-fed. It was brought to them. Yeah. All they had to do was put it in their mouth, chew and swallow, and their hunger would have been gone.
Yeah.
But for them to leave that meeting and say, I'm still hungry,
yeah.
It was hand-prepared for you.
Yeah.
It was even brought to you.
Yeah.
You know, we come and we sit in a company nice and orderly. We do things decently in order. The Lord gives pastors food to feed you.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting fed, I have to question if you're even eating.
Yeah.
Are you even chewing on it? Are you going back and hitting the scriptures that pastor did week in, week out? Are you taking notes so you can, when you do get your answer, you don't forget what it is? Or if you go through a test and trial that you already got the food for, do you remember, hey, pastor already taught on this. He showed me a way. Are you going to get offended at God? God's like, I already provided the food for you.
Yeah.
All you have to do is put it in your mouth and eat.
That's right.
It's nutrition. It's life. It's good.
Right.
Amen.
You know, but we see, you know, we honor the gift because who it was given from.
Right.
And also what it's going to do. You know, we see in Jeremiah that it was knowledge and understanding. We understand that it's a gift from God. You know, it's for the edifying of the saints. It's for the edifying of the saints. So now we're going to talk about taking care of your pastor. Because he needs to be taken care of. You know, we can get a brand new car, but if we never put new gas in it, if we never change the oil, we never maintain it, guess what? That new car is going to go downhill quick.
Right.
And then are we going to write the company? Hey, there's something wrong with your car.
Come on.
Well, how come it's out of oil? That's why your motor seized up. It's out of oil.
Right.
How come your car doesn't start? Well, you know, the battery's dead. How is that the company's fault?
Right.
You know, there's maintenance that we have to do, and we're going to talk about taking care of your pastor. Let's bring up Luke 8:11. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And we talked about this in Sunday school. The seed is the word of God.
Yeah.
It's the word of God.
Right.
It's the word of God. The seed is the word of God.
Yes.
It's the word.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the seed? The word. The word of God is the seed. So what are you planting in the field? The word of God. The word of God is the seed. If you're expecting a harvest, what are you planting? Are you planting stuff off the TV? Are you planting stuff you hear off of the news? Are you planting stuff that, you know, you hear your family members, your friends? Are you planting that stuff? Because you realize if your words, you know, if you're planting bad seeds, they still grow. They still grow. But if you want a good harvest, the sower sows the word. You know, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 13:23, we're just bringing it up. And this is, you know, the different account, or it's the same account in a different chapter, but Matthew 13:23, it says, but he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which it also bear fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I want you to understand that pastor is sowing the word day in, day out, Sundays, Wednesdays. You know, he's bringing in guest ministers. They're sowing the word.
Yeah.
We're planting into the field,
right.
You know. But it says, but he that receiveth into good ground and hear it, you know. That's our part.
Right.
We need to receive it. We need, because he's giving us seed. He's constantly casting out seed, constantly. But are we planting it in our field? Pastor has given you seed to plant in your field. Are you just leaving it to waste on the roadside? Are you leaving it to waste on stony ground? Are you planting the seeds that pastor has given you into good ground?
Right.
And if you are planting into the good ground, it's producing. What's it producing? 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Why? Because it was good seed.
Right.
Pastor knows what good seed is to feed his sheep.
Yes.
He's given it to you. And all we have to do is plant it.
Right.
You know, he takes care of us so much. Let's go to Galatians 6:6 in the Amplified. God's good. But this is all part, you know, eventually I'm going to get to taking care of your pastor. But I want you to realize that who's giving you the seed that you're sowing into the good ground?
Yeah.
Galatians 6.
Hallelujah.
6:6 in the Amplified. It says, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Let him who receives instruction, you receive instruction Wednesdays and Sundays, in the word of God, and that's what you're getting instructed in, the word of God. Pastor is not up here giving you his opinion.
Right.
He's giving you the word of God. It says, share with him all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. You know, there's a difference between tithes and offerings. The tithes go to the church. The offering's up to us. So are we able to contribute a little bit to those who, or at least the pastor, we receive instruction from, the word of God?
That's right.
You know, that's what it says in Amplified, right? Let him who receives instruction to the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Contributing. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be money. But what's wrong with money? It's just money.
That's right.
You know, are you looking into some good, do you want to sow money into a good work?
Yeah.
Well, I can let you know, as far as this house is concerned, there's no better work than our pastors.
That's right.
So if you're wondering, well, I want to sow this extra seed, but where, I don't know where, your pastors.
Yeah.
If you want a guaranteed produced harvest, sow into your pastors. It's like a no-fail investment.
Right.
You're guaranteed that you're going to produce a good harvest. The ground doesn't get no better around here than your pastors. I encourage you, because there's power in the offering. Let's take care of our pastors. Let's free up their faith for things that they're believing in so they can do things for the kingdom. Let's push this thing harder. You know, the last thing that they need to worry about is their needs. Let's take care of their needs.
Amen.
Let's partner up with our pastors.
Right.
And let's get this work done.
Yes.
And I'll continue to keep on, you know, on this part. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5:17. There's nothing wrong with giving an offering to your pastors.
That's right.
There's no better ground than your pastors in the local church. You know, I'm even safe to say this. You know, we all partner with other ministers, right? Because we believe in them. Well, how would you know they were even safe to sow into if it wasn't for your pastors?
That's right.
You know, pastors they're praying on who to bring into this pulpit. And yes, we partner with them because we believe in their ministry. But how did you even know that ministry was safe? How did you know? Oh, because you have an awesome pastor. You know? I mean, let's think about this. You know, say the guest ministers, they come in at most, what, 10 days, 2 weeks? Some of them for, you know, 3-4 days.
Right.
I mean, if you put that in consideration in a year, how much more do you get from your pastor?
Right.
You get so much more from your pastor than you do these guest ministers. You know, and we believe in these guest ministers, so we support them.
Yeah.
how much more do we believe in our pastors that we should be able to support them?
Yes.
You know, if we're getting fed the most by them, and this is opinion, complete opinion, they should have more than any of my other partners. Why? Because that's my primary feeding.
Yes. Yes.
They sow way more into me than what all these, and I'm not trying to diminish the guest ministers and all that, because, you know, in Ephesians 4:11, it shows that they're for the edifying of the saints also.
Yes.
But where do we get most of our feeding from?
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
From our pastors.
Yes.
From our pastors.
Amen.
This, you know, how much more does our like I said, you didn't even know that these guest ministers were safe. Unless your pastors brought them in, because they knew what type of food to feed their sheep.
Yes.
You know, 1 Timothy 5, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified also. We'll start in verse 17. It says, "Let the elders who perform the duties of their office well be considered doubly worthy of honor and of adequate financial support." Oh, there's that word again.
Yeah.
Financial support. Man, someone must have crossed that out of some people's Bibles. But it says, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching.
That's right.
You know? They labor. They labor. In preaching and teaching. You know, let's go to verse 18. It says, "For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain." Again, the labor is worthy of his hire.
That's right.
God hired our pastors to get this work done.
Yeah.
You know, and this verse 17 actually says that they're worth double.
That's right.
Double honor.
That's right.
And then you go again in 18, it says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when he's treading out the grain." And again, you know, he's working. He's working. What was it? Reverend Chris D'Amico, he said, you know, how many times have your pastor have taken sheep out of a lion's mouth?
Oh, yeah.
How many times has Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie came when you're in a time of need, when you were getting ready to be devoured, and said, "Nope, not today, Satan," because they offered a supply as far as praying for you or teaching you or saying, you know what? No, that's what the good shepherd does. That's what our pastors do. They're like, oh, you know what? They're in trouble. God's going to tell you, you know, they're going to know.
Right.
And they're going to say, "No, Satan, you're not going to get that sheep.
Right.
You're not eating my flock."
Right.
That's their job.
Yes.
They've given their life to it.
Yeah.
I can think of numerous times that, you know, I was close to getting devoured up. And Pastor Tim or Pastor Kay said, "Nope, that's not going to happen here."
Right.
And they came like a good shepherd and ripped me out of the mouth of the lion.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, "No, that's danger that way." You know?
Yeah.
And how much more they labor faithfully preaching and teaching us.
Yeah.
You know, they're that ox that goes around.
That's right.
Goes around. You know, that ox is producing grain, food for people to eat.
Right.
Producing food for people to eat.
Yeah.
That's what they do, preaching and teaching. That's that food for people to eat.
Amen.
Verse 17 says they're worth double honor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Double honor. And if that wasn't enough for you, let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 9.
Hallelujah.
He's just another guy trying to get money out of people's pocket. No, I'm just another guy trying to get you a bigger blessing.
That's it.
You know, if you feel like I'm just trying to get money out of your pocket, you know what? You might as well just leave it there, because you're going to need it more than they do. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
If you already got a heart issue about it, keep your money.
Yeah.
You're going to need it more than them. Because it's not about a dollar. That's the lowest form. That's the lowest form. You're talking about the true riches. And you worry about a little bit of money. Money comes and goes. Guess what? Every time you spend it on something, there it goes. Why don't you plant it into something and produce, you know?
Amen.
So what's he had 5 talents and invested and got 5 more talents.
Yeah.
And it said, good job.
Yeah.
Good job. The guy with two talents invested, got two more talents. Good job. What's the person that didn't do nothing? You're wicked, evil. Shouldn't you at least put it in the bank? You should at least did something. You hid it where no one else could see it. For what? And you know, if you stick a dollar bill, you make a hole and stick it in a hole. Guess what? You're not going to get a Dollar Tree. You're not. You know, the pirates, you know, back in the day, they get these big old, you know, gold treasures and all that, and they go hide it and stuff. Well, guess what? You know why people haven't found it? Because it's not producing treasure trees. You know? Hey, look, some pirate was over there. I see a ruby tree over there. You know? How much more? If you're looking for a place to get good seed into good ground, there's nothing better than our pastors. So 1 Corinthians, I'm almost there. 1 Corinthians 9:7. God's good. And it says, who goeth a warfare any time in his charges? Who plants a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feeds a flock and eats not the milk of the flock? This is pretty simple. You know, who plants a vineyard? Like, who goes out there and plants a garden, and when all the garden comes up, doesn't eat from it?
Right.
You know, who was out there working the garden?
Right.
You know, and a lot of times if you did it right, you have enough to go into everybody else. Hey, let's be a blessing. Let's get this. Let's get that. That means you're doing things right. You sowed into good ground. Stuff is working. So you have enough for you. You have enough to give to other people. How much more? Our pastors, you know? I like what it says. Who feeds the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Who feeds the flock? Our pastors. And why should they not eat of the milk of the flock? Let's go down to verse 9. It says, for it was written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of an ox that treadeth out corn. Does God take care of the oxen? As a question? There's that saying again. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. They're working. They're working. They're working. They're working. And I like it. Does God take care of the oxen? Like, doesn't he take care of them? That's a no-brainer. Of course you take care of them, because without an oxen, who's going to go tread? You know, you take well care of the equipment, you know, even job-wise. If you're working and there's equipment that you use, the equipment that you use to make your job, you know, work, is the stuff you take the most care of.
Right.
Why? Because without that equipment, the job's going to be hard.
Yeah.
So you take good care of the equipment that helps you get that job done.
Amen.
We need to take care of the equipment that God's given us to get this job done.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
I just, like I said, it's just a word.
Right.
It's just a word. Let's go down to verse 9. Oh, I'm already at 9. Excuse me. Let's go to 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap carnal things? They're constantly pushing in spiritual stuff. Spiritual stuff. Prayer. Word. Seed to the sower. Here's your word. Here's your word. Constantly. They don't stop. This ministry has been going on. I know Pastor's been a pastor, 8 years? He never woke up and decided, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to take this month off.
No.
No, he was faithful day in and day night and day out for 8 years so far and many more.
Yes.
This ain't going to stop.
That's right.
This isn't a job. It's a lifestyle.
Yes.
He has dedicated, Pastor Katie has dedicated their life to God's work.
That's right. Amen.
So it's just not a matter of like, you know what, we're done just for a month. You know, we're going to forget about God. We're going to forget about the sheep. We're going to forget about everything. Could you imagine if that happened, how many wolves would get in here and just start devouring stuff? Do you understand how many sheep, the sheep that have a, that doesn't stay with their group, who's going to shepherd them back in so they don't get eaten up by lions? A shepherd's job you can't take off. Your lives can't afford them to do that. They can. You know, I mean, and a lot of times, and I'm just speaking for myself, you know, I don't realize how much they're actually even keeping me from. You know, through prayer. Through the word. You know, they're standing that gap for me. You know, and I'm speaking for me. You know, how much have they already spared me from that I don't even know? Because that shepherd's out there and watch. Looking, he sees that danger coming. He's like, no, my sheep's getting out. Let's go get them. Oh, that's coming. Let's go get that. And he takes care of the problem. We have a shepherd that runs that problem because he takes care of them before they get to the flock. There's safety in that. You know, this is a safe church.
Amen.
Why? Because you have shepherds that take care of problems before they get to the flock.
That's right.
And if they get close to the flock, guess what? That it needs to go. You know? It needs to go.
Amen.
Carry a big stick. Get them away because there's danger in that.
That's right.
It's a lifestyle that they've dedicated for you.
Amen.
But I like that verse. It says, they sow unto you spiritual things. Is it a great thing if we shall reap carnal things? Just saying. You can read the scripture too, right? I know I done said it twice, so if you can't read, you still are responsible for it because I said it two times already. That was for the reading impaired. You heard it. Let's go down to verse 14. It says, even so have the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel.
That's right.
This is all the same thing. Even so have the Lord ordained. They ordained Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie, the head of this. The Lord ordained it.
Yes.
It's a written, it's done. They ordained it. And it says, and they which preach the gospel shall live off the gospel. They preach the gospel. That's all they preach. King James, the Bible. I'm just, you know, they preach the word.
Yes.
They preach the word.
Amen.
For your sake.
That's right.
It's safe food.
Yes.
For your sake.
Amen.
But you see over and over and over again where it's important to take care of our sheep, or not our sheep, our shepherd. You know, the ox that makes the food for us.
Right.
You know, you think that ox likes walking in circles? I mean, can you see the ox? What are you doing? Making food for the sheep or for, you know, for the people. Is it fun sometimes? No. It doesn't look fun, you know what?
Right.
But if you realize who the gift's from, it carries you. Because you're like, the people are going to get fed.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be times I'm sure they would rather do other things.
Yes.
But you know what? They're working for the sheep to feed them.
Yeah.
It's a nonstop job.
Yeah.
They're constantly going. They're constantly going. Like I said, if they stop, that's like taking a month off. Well, guess what? If that ox took a month off and no one picked up that thing, who's going to feed them?
Right.
People's going to start getting hungry. And when people get hungry, they do crazy things.
Yeah.
You know? I know naturally sometimes when I get hungry, I forget to walk in love a little bit. Get me some food. you know? Again, like I said, I'm a work in progress. But naturally speaking, sometimes when we get hungry, we start doing some crazy stuff. spiritually, you know, sometimes when we take off from praying or getting into the Word, we start doing some crazy stuff. You know? Well, why'd you get off? Well, how much prayer and word time have you had? You know, and it's a subtle thing. Sometimes, you know, I'm guilty of it. You don't even realize that you've done it. Until someone else, praise God for a good wife, kicks me in the pants and says, get it straight. You know, I need that, though. I need that. You know, praise God for pastors to be like, look, hey, you need to pick it up. Because they know what's going to hurt me. They're trying to feed me, you know. Feed. You need food. It's not time to be picky. You need to eat. You just need to get food in your system. You know? So, like I said, if they stop, you know, treading the corn, treading the grain, who's going to feed you? Is there anybody else ordained to be a shepherd in your life? If you think there is, you got a heart problem. Or you better take some time on your knees and figure out who your pastor is. Are you in the right church? You know, because, you know, sometimes people, they church hop. You know, they stay here. Okay, you're my pastor. Well, if I was their pastor, why are you always up there? Why are you always over there? How come you're more faithful to these churches over here? If I'm your pastor, I'm not saying me in general, but if they're your pastor, why are you spending more time in other churches then? How many other people have you called your pastor? You know? Now you got the shepherds confused. Whose sheep is this? This one just running around. Running around the field. He's like, what's that sheep doing? It's like, it's doing zigzags, tuck and roll. There ain't even nothing chasing that sheep. It's running around like, you have all these shepherds around here trying to figure out, like, what flock is that from? My sheep don't do that. You know, that sheep tucking and rolling and bouncing off. Why? Because a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways.
That's right.
You know? You have these shepherds out there like, what's this sheep doing? You're unstable. That's why you need to take time and find out who is your pastor. Because you will know their voice. It's a promise. You'll know your shepherd's voice. Stop being double-minded. Because the quicker you find out who your shepherd is, that's when you're starting to be able to get grounded and stable. Until then, you're just running around. I don't want to diminish it to laughing at you, but you know what? A sheep looks kind of funny just doing crazy things, you know? I mean, you ever been to a zoo and there's this random animal that just starts doing crazy stuff? They're the one that everybody looks at. It's just natural. You're like, why does that animal do that? We were in Jacksonville one time. Caden was little, you know, so he would have been like a little chicken nugget to this animal. And it was like this glass, you know, and what was it, like a jaguar? It was a jaguar. And this jaguar, like Caden's like doing something. What, he's like three, four years old. And he's like doing something, and this jaguar is like headbutting the glass trying to bite him. Wow. I got great pictures of it. I mean, I was taking pictures. Like, psh, you know, you can see the glass like vibrate, and you see like the drool from the jaguar and stuff. Great pictures. It's amazing. And, you know, but that was sticking out, so everybody started looking. And my wife's like, I was going to tell somebody, but how do you tell the zookeeper that a wild animal is acting wild? That animal's acting wild. Well, you're right, because it's out of its habitat. You know, it is going to act wild because that's all it knows. Same with the sheep that's going, that's all they know. That's all they know. Until they get into their habitat, that's when they start stabling down. You know, that's when they know, this is my pastor. That's where the peace comes from. That's because there's a comfort of being in your own company. There's a comfort of being and hearing your pastor's voice. There's a comfort in actually praying and hearing from God. There's a comfort in that. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. You know, that's that hookup. That's that hookup. You know? And But that's so I encourage you, if you are a church jumper, figure out who your pastor is. And it'd be beneficial on both sides. It'd be beneficial on both sides. Now, I want to bring up Luke 8. And you don't have to turn there because I'm going to do it in the God's Words translation. They're going to bring it up. We'll start in verse 1. We're going to go 1 through 3. It says, after this, Jesus traveled from one city and villages to another. He spread the good news and about God's kingdom. That's what our pastors are doing. They're spreading the good news about God's kingdom. It says the 12 apostles were with them. Go to verse 2. Also, some women were with them. They had been cured from evil spirits and various illnesses. Go to the next verse. It says, these women were Mary, also called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, Joanna, who was the husband of Chuza, was Herod's administrator, Susanna, and many other women. So you know there's at least five or more. I don't know how many is many. They at least named three. You know? And it says they provided financial support for Jesus and his disciples. There's that finance word again. No one likes talking about money, but you know what? It's little stuff. It's little stuff. Here you see Jesus and the disciples getting financial support so they can accomplish what they need to accomplish. You know, here you see Jesus, the head of the ministry. Here you see Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie having many under them. Why not financially support them so they can do what they need to do? Why not? Is an ox not worth it? Not saying that you're all oxes, you know, but they're doing the work. Night in, night out, night in, night out, during the day, you know. God wakes them up to pray for you in the middle of the night. You know what? Sometimes that work we just don't like doing. They don't like doing that work sometimes. But you know what? Not my will, but your will, Lord. This is a need for the body. I'm going to put my want, and I'm going to fulfill what you need. And they're willing to do that for you. And they're faithfully doing that for you. Faithfully doing that for you. So that's how you take care of a gift. Now let's go into the most important thing. This is the absolute best way to take care of your pastors. And it's we need to pray for them. We need to offer a spiritual supply to them. That is the greatest way to take care of your pastors, is to pray for them. We need to pray for them every day. They need us to pray for them. You know, it's a two-way street. You know, they do it for us. At least, the least we can do is pray for them. The least thing that we could do is pray for them, him and his family.
Yes.
I want to say that also, him and his family.
Yes.
Because, you know, scatter the shepherd, or, you know, smite the shepherd, scatter the sheep. Well, who are those directly close to the pastor?
Right.
His family.
Yes.
Who are those you think getting attacked? Probably more so than anybody else. His family, because if he can disorganize the inner group, it affects the leadership, the pastor. You know, those, you know those who are close to him, you know, you go through stuff, you know, trials and all that, but they're family. They need prayers. You know, we can offer up prayers for our pastors, you know, but how about his family? Where's the prayer and the power made available for them?
Right.
You know, Pastor Tim has a wife, Pastor Katie.
Yes.
You know, pray for her.
That's right.
They have two kids, Timothy and Michael. Pray for them.
Yes.
They go through stuff too. Yes, they're young, but that doesn't mean they don't go through stuff.
Right.
You know, they're in the direct line of fire.
Yes.
They need it.
That's right.
You know, if they're not on your prayer list, I highly recommend that you add them to your prayer list, because they need that power available.
That's right.
They, I mean, it's not even like they just want it. Yes, they absolutely want it. They need it.
Yes.
They need it. You know, we talked about the general, you know, the general and the army behind them. It was that army that pushed them generals forward. You know, it was the actions of what the army did to keep that general's vision going.
Yeah.
You know, the general gives an order. The army behind them, okay, that's our order. We need to do that. You know, if the general says, all right, well, we're going to flank right. Well, guess what? We need to flank right. Because if we flank left, guess what? We compromise the whole mission. The general's the one with the direction.
Yes.
But it's our job, the edifying of the saints, to do the ministry,
right,
to fulfill that.
Yeah.
So if they say go right, we need to go right. And not only do we just need to go right, we need to go right with a good heart, the right motive, and we need to obey.
Yeah.
Because sometimes our opinion will get us in trouble. You know, there's things that they might say, do that we might not necessarily agree with, but you know what? You don't see the whole picture. You don't see the whole picture. You don't know what the direction was to get around this maneuver. You know, you don't know it. You know, in Judges, the battle of Ai, you know, if you're a Bible student, you know about it. You know, they're like, you know what? We're going to go in there with just sheer number and knock them out. Guess what? They got wiped. They got beat. Why? Because they did something that seemed right naturally, but they didn't have the whole picture. So they got back and they're like, look, man, we messed up. We're sorry. And then they followed, and guess what? They had the victory. So there's times that we don't see the whole picture, and maybe naturally something might seem right to us. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. Because you don't have the whole picture. You're not the head of the ministry. God's not giving you direction to guide pastor.
Right.
It never works like that. It never goes from the bottom up. It never goes like that. You know, because if it did, you know, privates would be like high-minded. They're novice. Pride gets in the way. You know, they're like, I'm somebody now. Okay, well, guess what? That just clouded your judgment. Because you couldn't get you out of the way. You couldn't even hear what the general was saying because you were so full of yourself. That's pride.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah, I'm in charge of this, so I can do it this way. Okay, that's good, but is that the direction that you were told from higher up?
That's right.
Because there's your way, and then there's God's way.
Yes.
God's way is coming from higher up,
that's
regardless
right.
of you agree with it or not.
Right.
Our job is just to be yes, sir, and get it done.
Yes.
Because as soon as we start putting traces of our own self in it, guess what? We in trouble. Because you can't do nothing. You might think you can do something, but if you can't even follow orders, you're in trouble.
Come on.
You know, the seed time and harvest, that's like digging up the seed before it starts growing.
Come on.
Is it good yet? Is it good yet? Why? Because that was your ideal.
Yeah.
You know, a person who goes back constantly digging up a seed, that's their ideal.
Right.
You never see in the word where God says, you know what, go back and check on your seed.
Come on.
No, he said, water your seed. He said, water your seed.
That's right.
You know, God planted. Or no, you know, Paul planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, that's an order.
Yeah.
You know, God gave direction to Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim funneled it down. We need to get it done.
That's right.
It's simple.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to make it hard.
Right.
It's simple.
Yeah.
It's like a ladder. God, Pastor Tim, us. Man, you know what? I did 8 years of college just to figure that out. My goodness, I got a doctorate in that. No, it's simple.
Yeah.
And I lied. I didn't go to college. I'm sorry. But but you see how simple it is.
Yeah.
Even a non-college going person can understand.
Right.
God, Pastor Tim, we do it.
Yeah. That's right.
Man. That's easy. That's easy. My sons get that. I think Casman's what, in preschool? And he understands that. We should be able to grasp that, right? We came to a point of knowledge where we can like understand how it all works. I didn't make it too hard, did I? I was making sure everybody grasped that concept, you know, because that's the chain of command.
Yeah.
It doesn't go God, the people, Pastor Tim. It doesn't go Pastor Tim, the people, God. It only goes God, Pastor Tim, the people. All right, so now that we got that all nice and simple, praise God. But let's bring this up. And you don't have to turn to these. We're just going to bring it up for time's sake. It says 14:18. Excuse me. This is Apostle Paul. It says, "I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all." Okay, tongues is a prayer language. Just throwing that out there. So Apostle Paul is saying, "I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all, or I pray more than you all." Okay, so we established Paul is a prayer warrior. That boy prays. He prays and prays and prays. He walks, he prays. He prays, he prays. Okay. So we established that he prays. Okay. But let's see what he writes to Corinth. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:11. This is Paul again, writing. "You also helping together by praying for us." Paul, why are you asking for prayer? Just the book before, you said you pray all the time. But here you see Paul, "You also helping together by praying for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us be the means of many persons, things may be to given." But pray for us. Yes. Paul's a prayer, yet he's writing to Corinth, pray for us. Yes. Pray for us. Well, let's see what Paul writes to another church. Let's go to Romans, or writes to the Romans. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Yeah. So here you see another book, another letter, Paul saying, pray for me. 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 What do you mean, Paul? You just said you prayed more than everybody. But then you see twice, he's like, but I need you to pray for me. He understood, I can't do this by myself. I need that power. I need you all to hook up with me. I need you. There's a spiritual need there. And Paul understood that. So at least in 2 Corinthians, and at least in Romans, you see Paul said, pray for me. Well, let's keep on going. Colossians 4:3. "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Again, to the Colossians, pray for me. Why? That God will open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ. Yeah. Pray for us. Yeah. Pray for us. But Paul, you're a good prayer. Pastor Tim, you're a good prayer. Pastor Katie, you're a good prayer. Pray for us. Yeah. Pray for us. There's stuff that we need help getting into. Pray for us. This is Paul's heart. Pray for us. Pray for us. I can't stress that enough, that we need to pray for our pastors. You know, you see in 2 Corinthians, you see in Romans, you see in Colossians, pray for us. Paul, you're a mighty man of God. You wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. That's more reason to pray for me. Do you know how much that we're going against? You know, a man that high up and the revelation that Paul had, there was stuff that was coming against Paul. And his greatest need was prayer. Pray for it. It's constant. You see it. I mean, we've seen it 3 times already where he mentioned in a letter, pray for us. Pray for us. But does he do it anywhere else? Let's see. In Colossians 4. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Let's see what he says here. "Brethren, pray for us." Brethren, pray for us. Do you know who Paul's talking to? The church. And what's his request? Pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. You see over and over and over again. Paul said, look, I know I can pray. I can pray heaven down. He said, I even been to heaven. But pray for me. 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 He's like, I need your prayers. There's things that I need help with. And praying the Holy Ghost, because you might not necessarily know what they need you to pray for, but the Holy Ghost does. carries out mysteries. It makes power available. You know, I might not know what to pray for, but Lord, you know, I want to pray for my pastor. So I thank you, Holy Ghost, that you pick up and pray with me and pray out the needs for our pastors. Hook it up. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. Because this isn't just the heart of Paul. This is the heart of your pastors. Pray for them. Pray for us. Pray for their family. Pray, 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 pray. Pray, 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 pray. Pray some more. Pray, 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 pray. Now I want to give you things that we need to pray for our pastor. Number one, we need to pray for utterance in sermons and towards for sermons and towards individuals. Again, I'll say that again. Number one, we need to pray for utterance in sermons and towards individuals. I was listening to a Pastor Nancy CD, and she was talking about pray for utterance before you come to service.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you ever heard a pastor come up and say, you know, I don't know why, but I'm just led to go this way. And he goes off his notes. Well, guess what? Someone probably prayed for utterance, and God's meeting that person's needs. You know? Pray for utterance. You know? Pray for utterance in sermons and towards individuals. Number two, that they speak the truth in boldness. Notice I didn't just say just to speak truth or just to speak boldly, but to speak the truth, the gospel, boldly. You know, Ephesians 6:19-20, you know, and this is just an example. You know, that utterance may be given to Pastor Tim, that he may open his mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. You know, that's taken from Ephesians 6, verses 19 and 20. You know, that's what that looks like. That utterance may be given to Pastor Tim. I thank you, Lord, that utterance is given to Pastor Tim, that he may open his mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel.
That's right. Amen.
Number three, free course to spread the gospel rapidly. You know, this truth needs to spread because there's a dying world out there. And it's the truth that sets people free. It's not man's opinions. It's nothing else but the truth. So the word needs to have free course, and it needs to spread rapidly. You need it to spread rapidly in your life because there's things that we need to take care of, that we need the word, and only the word alone can blast out of us. Number four, that the word of God be glorified. It's not no other man's word. It's God's word. God gets all the credit for everything. That the word needs to be glorified because this is the help. God's the help, and God wrote it down, things to help us. You know, Pastor Michael in school, he talks about when you go to prayer, find a scripture because then you have a word to stand on. You're hooking up with what God already put in the word. You know God's will on the situation because you already have the scripture. If you got a scripture on it, that is God's will. So then you can come boldly before the throne. Why can you come boldly before the throne? Because you're only repeating something that God already said. God, you said this. So you're not a respecter of persons, and it says that you're not a man that you shall lie. And I see in that in your word, so I come boldly before the throne, and you present the word that you're standing on. And you present it. And he has to perform his word because he wrote it. It's not a lie. And you already have God's will on the situation if you have a scripture. You're not praying God's will. You already have his will. Number five, that Pastor Tim and his family would be delivered from wicked and unreasonable people. Again, number five, that Pastor Tim and his family would be delivered from wicked and unreasonable people. Because the verse says not all men have faith. You know, there is a real enemy out there that's looking to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, and they can come in forms of wicked and unreasonable men. There can be things that come up against the church because of unreasonable and wicked men. So we need to pray that they're delivered, because regardless, God's plan moves forward. And 2 Thessalonians 3:1, this is kind of what it looks like. That the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified, and that Pastor Tim and his family be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. That's what that looks like.
Amen.
You know, again, Ephesians 6:19-20, that utterance may be given to Pastor Tim, that he may open his mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel.
Yes.
And 2 Thessalonians 3:1, it says that the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified, and that Pastor Tim and his family be delivered from unreasonable wicked men, for not all have faith.
Yep.
And I'm going to end with this. Pray for Pastor when you hear that he's going through another phase or another door, or he gets a special endowment. You know, so many times, you know, we want to stand in the background. It's like, praise God, Pastor's going to, he's got a new endowment coming. Praise God, he's going to go to a next phase. Praise God. And it ends there. Now, you don't have to raise hands. Just think about this. How many times have you went to another phase in the Lord and not been tested or trialed? You know, how many times have you came up to that next level and all out hell didn't come loose against you? And you're like, Lord, I'm doing everything I can to stand. Well, Satan's throwing everything at you not to go through that next phase. Well, you just heard Pastor publicly get an endowment for healing. Do you don't think Satan's going to try to, like, stop that? And here we're sitting on the background, yes, praise God, which is good. You rejoice with those who rejoice. But do we pray for that new equipment and the tests and trials that come against it? You know, because there's going to be serious tests and trials coming against it, because Satan's not done the spiritual activity. Well, if you get into special, and there's going to be, then there's a learning period. Pastor's not just going to know how to, now, like most of us drive, right? Now, when you first got into the car, you didn't understand completely how that car ran. It took time. You know, it took, you know, before you became familiar with that equipment. The same thing with new spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
It takes time for them to understand how stuff works.
Yeah.
They need your prayers to help you get through it.
Right.
You know, they need that help. Pray for them. You know, that's an instant prayer assignment.
Right.
When you hear a pastor gets promoted, that's an instant prayer assignment to say, you know what, I need to hook up and I need to pray for that.
Amen.
You know, I need to help them, you know, just get through it.
Right.
You know, he needs our help.
Right.
Same with Pastor Katie, because she's
right.
gotten some pretty good nuggets here recently.
Yeah.
She needs our help
right.
to pray her through it.
Amen.
Pastor Michael, you know, he was talking to his church that he needed help praying, getting into his fourth phase of ministry.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Monday he said that he's entering into his fourth phase, so that means that the people picked up that prayer assignment and started praying for him and helped Pastor Michael get into that fourth phase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
That's what we need to do.
Amen.
That's our example. That's our assignments. So
okay.
So we have areas that we need to step it up in.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? We see that God and Jesus has given us the gift of a pastor.
Yeah.
You know, we have to honor that gift because it was given from above and what that gift means to our life. You know, we also seen in the word that it's right to financially support our pastors.
Yes.
You know, it's okay to partner with your pastors.
Right.
It is okay.
Yes.
You know, they're out there treading.
Amen.
They're out there day in, day out, making sure that they have food for you to feed.
Right.
Or food for them to feed you.
Right.
We need that.
Yeah.
You know, double honor, you
right.
know. So I encourage that. Let's take care of our pastors.
Amen.
You know, let's step that up.
That's right.
You know, and I'm not talking about a one-time gift.
Right.
I'm just going to go ahead and swipe that right now. I'm not talking about some guilt offering.
Come on.
I'm not.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm just going to throw Pastor some money because I'm guilty with this. No, if God's dealing with you, go ahead and partner up with them.
Yes.
You know, hallelujah, here's my one gift offering. No, be faithful with
that's
it.
Right.
Let's support our pastors.
Yes.
They don't want no guilt offering.
Come on, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, they want to know that people truly love them. Well, they know that people truly love them, you know. But we need to honor that gift. We need to invest in those things which we hold high.
Amen.
And also, the most important thing that we can provide for our pastors is prayer.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we need to pray daily for our pastors. We also need to make sure that we catch prayer assignments when guest ministers are here and they call our pastors. We need to be tuned into that.
Yes.
And we don't need pastor come up here and be like, hey, you know what, I got a new healing endowment, so would you please pray for me? No. You need to catch that prayer assignment and hook up your faith and pray for him because he needs you. Same with Pastor Katie. You hear Pastor Katie get called out in service and something comes up. We need to hook up prayer assignment. We need it. I'll go ahead and close with that.